Radio Prague News. Czech politicians have expressed their condolences and solidarity with Britain. The Czech government has decided to increase police patrols at various locations around the city. A state-funded international center for clinical research is to open up in the Moravian capital of Brno. Czech politicians have expressed their condolences and solidarity with Britain in reaction to the terrorist attacks on London on Tuesday, adding that these latest series of attacks on the European continent prove that the international fight against terrorism has been imperative and must continue. In a letter to the Queen, Czech President Václav Klaus, who is currently at the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival in West Bohemia, said the Czech Republic would join Britain to face those who with cowardly practices are trying to destroy the values that our civilization is based on. During its session on Thursday, the Czech government decided to increase the number of police patrols at various locations in Prague. Both the Interior Ministry and the Czech Secret Police say the enforcement is just a precaution and they have no reason to believe that there is a threat of attack on the Czech Republic. According to Interior Minister František Bublan, the headquarters of the US-funded Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty headquarters in the city centre, department stores, the city's public transport network and all strategic buildings will be guarded more heavily. A special telephone hotline has also been opened by the Foreign Ministry for Czechs who have not been able to get in touch with their relatives in London. A state-funded international centre for clinical research will most likely be established in the Moravian capital of Brno, the Deputy Prime Minister for Economic Affairs Martin Jan said on Thursday. The opening of the centre is part of the National Innovation Policy, a plan to put results of research into practice by putting 1% of the GDP into research and development, making it easier to acquire grants and making technology and mathematics subjects more attractive at universities. The policy, until 2010, was approved by the government. Mr. Jan's office expects to present a more detailed plan on the clinical research centre within a month. The Czech cabinet also discussed a bilateral agreement with Austria on Thursday that would increase police cooperation. With the agreement, which is to be signed in mid-July, the interior ministries of both countries hope to join forces and combat crime more effectively. The document makes it easier to search for suspects across the borders and introduces joint border controls in order to clamp down on illegal migrants. And a quick look at the weather. The next few days should have partially clear skies with occasional showers. Daytime temperatures will range from 20 to 24 degrees Celsius. I'm Dita Asiru, and that's the end of the news.
You are tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up, we get the Czech perspective on Thursday's terrible events in London. The week's business news here in the Czech Republic, and in this week's arts, we'll focus on the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, which is due to end this Saturday. All that coming up, don't go away. The world is still in shock one day after four bombs brought terror, death and destruction to London. Security services around the world, including the Czech Republic, are on high alert as police in London launch a frantic hunt for the killers. Rob Cameron has been following the story and joins me now in the studio. Rob, so what's the latest?
Well, Daniela, we don't know much more. The official death toll still stands at 37. That is, of course, expected to rise. 700 people are injured, many fighting for their lives in hospital. The British authorities admit the task of finding those responsible is extremely difficult. The British Home Secretary, Charles Clarke, said it was like searching for needles in haystacks. Czech radio's Vít Pohanka was in Scotland covering the G8 summit when the attack happened. I spoke to him earlier by telephone.
Well, I was up in Scotland, actually, covering the G8 summit at Eagles. And then my boss, my editor, called me and told me to go down to London. So I was driving from Scotland to London yesterday afternoon. And all, you know, along the way, there were warnings, avoid London, do not come there, London closed even. which actually didn't prove quite true, but it was true that the situation, the traffic situation on the roads was difficult coming to London because, of course, a lot of people were trying to get out of the town or get into the town because the train services were disrupted. So it took me quite a long time, I mean longer time than it would normally take.
And Veet told me Londoners did appear to be heeding the authorities' call to carry on life as normal.
I have to say that most of the people seem to be in line with the official kind of pronouncements of politicians and the leaders that the best response to the terrorist attacks is just to carry on with your life and with your work, you know. So basically everyone that I spoke to seems to be pretty resolved just to go to work and to do what they would normally do. Having said that, it's true that some institutions in the center, like schools and some businesses, are closed. But that is because they decided in this situation, under these circumstances, to have a longer weekend and not to make the situation more difficult.
Obviously, it will take some time for London to recover from the attacks, although Veet told me he was very impressed by how the British people and the British authorities handled what was a very distressing and a very unpredictable situation.
You know, these warnings like stay where you are, do not go out, do not go to work unless you have to, or do not call the emergency services unless your life is threatened, etc. I mean, that was quite ominous, but everything seemed to be very well organized. And being a Czech, I was wondering if something like that happened in Prague, what would it be like and how would the media react and how would the politicians react? And I'm sorry to say that, but I suspect that the British response was much better than I would expect in the Czech Republic. But that is my personal judgment.
Well, let's hope we don't have the chance to find out. Of course, there are lots of Czechs living in London, aren't there, Rob?
That's right, Daniela. I spoke to one of them, Jitka Patterson-Sigmund. She's been living in Britain since 1945. I asked her what she was doing when she heard about the attacks.
I was sitting in front of my computer doing some work for the British Czech and Slovak Association, and I had in the background, I always have Radio 4 going very low, you know, but suddenly something caught my attention, so I put it louder, and then, of course, the computer work stopped, and I just was into following what was going on.
And what were the first thoughts that went through your head when you heard the news that bombs had gone off in London?
Well, naturally, they're for one's family. And I have two sons. One I know is currently on holiday in France, so that was no problem. The other son I had spoken to a bit earlier. He lives in Hackney, but he is unpredictable about where his work will take him on a daily basis. He's an artist working freelance. So I was not sure where he was going to be. So after about half an hour, I telephoned to establish that he was at his studio, no problem, and that the children were at their schools. Again, everybody was where they should be.
Was there a sense of inevitability about this attack for those people living in London? After all, London and Britain are very much in the front line of the war against terror and seen as an ally of the United States.
Well, we've all been told over the last few months, you know, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. But I think that one tends to dismiss that a bit. You know, we were all really reasonably relaxed about it. Certainly for myself, I never worried about going on the tube or on the buses or anything like that. I cannot speak for others, of course.
And are you worried now? Do you think this will change your behaviour and your daily habits?
Not really, no, I don't think so. I mean, life has got to go on, you know. I am old enough to have lived through the war, and life has got to go on.
Many Londoners interviewed by the media have said that it won't deter them from going about their business, that there is this sense of business as normal, that life must carry on. That's something that you have said yourself as well. Do you get that sense, though, this morning, 24 hours after the attacks, that Londoners are willing and are determined just to carry on as normal?
I think so. This morning, the schools, central London schools, are not open. They allowed the children to stay home because they didn't know whether the parents could bring them in or take them out because of the simple business of getting around. But I'm sure it'll all carry on as normal. I think people will be more vigilant, But I think they have been vigilant about, you know, left bags and things.
And that was Jitka Patterson-Sigmund speaking to me earlier by telephone from our home in North London.
Rob Cameron there. Thanks for that, Rob. Well, Czech politicians have also been reacting to Thursday's terrible events in London. The Prime Minister, Jiří Paroubek, condemned what he called a barbaric attack on the civilian population of the British capital and expressed Czech solidarity in the fight against terrorism. President Václav Klaus, meanwhile, described the bombings as shocking. Mr. Klaus said that he did not want to make light of what had happened, but he warned that an exaggerated reaction might only encourage panic among Czech citizens. But as in many European countries, security was stepped up in the Czech Republic in the wake of the London bombings. Here's Deputy Foreign Minister Jan Winkler.
As far as Czech Republic is concerned, the security measures were improved, the protection of airports, nuclear power plants, but also major shopping malls was very increased. So far, the police is only involved, but this afternoon the National Security Council is supposed to meet and make eventually a decision if also military should be involved in improvement of security in the country. My personal guess is there is no reason.
So far, no Czech casualties have been reported. Mr. Winkler again.
We are now in the process of collecting information from Czech families or Czech friends who contacted our helpline, where the information about the missing persons are collected and passed to our embassy in London, which is in contact with Casualty Bureau in London. During the night, we received something around 70 calls. We have identified 28 people which were not yet contacted by their relatives. During the night, the number declined to 14, so now we have a list of 14 people who their relatives supposed might be or was in the critical time in the centre of London.
The Czech Deputy Foreign Minister Jan Winkler ending this special report on the aftermath of Thursday's terrible events in London. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, and it's now time for this week's business news, for which I'm joined by Ian Willoughby.
Thanks, Daniela. Well, first today, there's good news for small shareholders. The lower house has approved an amendment to the squeeze-out provision of the Commercial Code that allows owners of 90% or more of stock in a company to force small shareholders to sell. The amendment should mean they get a fair price for their shares.
Some 25 companies have called extraordinary general shareholders meetings to decide how to proceed. Among them, the giant power utility CHESS, which plans to spend 500 million crowns buying out minority stakes in four power distributor companies.
And deputies have been busy. Recently, they've also voted to grant both hotels and language schools an indefinite exemption from the 19% VAT rate. If the president signs the bill, they will continue to pay 5%. However, tighter controls have been announced for bars and restaurants. They'll be required to submit inventory lists of all hard alcohols to the customs office, and that's by the end of this month. All new purchases must have the correct stamps.
Legislators are considering ways to stop supermarkets dumping, selling items like beer or mineral water at below production cost to attract customers. Suppliers complain they have been pressured to sell to supermarkets at a loss. The anti-dumping bill has yet to be approved by the Senate. Retailers, meanwhile, are expected to lobby against it.
The Minister of Finance, Bohuslav Sobotka, has submitted a long-awaited budget proposal to the Cabinet. His plan projects a deficit of 76.4 billion Czech crowns. That's roughly $3 billion. But the proposed spending level of 923 billion crowns is 8 billion crowns higher than the cap agreed with the European Union. That's part of the convergence programme. It also does not include a projected 15 billion crown drop in tax revenue, should the government's new rates for personal income tax come into effect.
Minister Sobotka said, however, that the overall deficit should be less than 3.8% of GDP, which is within the Czech Republic's EU convergence commitment. But he acknowledged that the convergence programme is not being met in 19 budget areas. For instance, while the plan was to reduce the number of state workers by 2.5% this year, their ranks actually grew by 2%.
And finally, some good news. The state agency Czechinvest said in a mid-year report it had mediated 70 new domestic and foreign investment projects in the first half of this year. The investments were worth nearly 25 billion crowns and could eventually create up to 8,000 new jobs, said a spokesperson. The investments went mainly into the automobile and electronics industries, as well as into chemical and plastics industries.
And of course, you can hear a roundup of the business news same time next week. You're listening to Radio Prague, and in this week's edition of The Arts, Ian Willoughby brings you a special from the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival.
Hundreds of film fans cheer the arrival of special guest Sharon Stone at the 40th Karlovy Vary International Film Festival. The American actress was here to present her new film, Broken Flowers, directed by Jim Jarmusch. Among a whopping 280 or so other films on offer this year were 16 world premieres and 33 European or international premieres. But is it hard for Karlovy Vary to secure top-quality films, given the competition from other A-certification festivals like Cannes and Berlin? Here's Karlovy Vary program director Julieta Zakharova.
We are in competition with other festivals, but this is the situation all the festivals are facing, because I think that there are too many festivals and probably not enough good movies. So, of course, there is a tough competition, but I believe that we have, in the last years, we have been able to secure films for our festival and premieres for our festival that we really wanted to have in the program. I would like to say that we have the luck and privilege of having our guests or people who have once been to the festival, that they really come back with their other films. So once they come here and see what the festival is like, they really send us their new films and submit their new features to us.
Stephen Gaidos is one of Variety magazine's senior correspondents in Europe. He says Karlovy Vary is unusual in that it welcomes thousands of paying fans, and the venue also adds a lot.
You must understand, most major film festivals are not very local audience friendly. They're industry events. Cannes is very difficult for the local community to access tickets. Venice is difficult for everyone. Berlin is a city festival, but the difference is you're in the big city like Berlin, where here you're in a vacation place. You're in a beautiful spa town and there's nothing else happening. You're here for film.
The festival's artistic director, Eva Zaharalova, says the smallness of the town is indeed a major factor in Karlovy Vary's success.
It's the ambience of the small town. Everybody can meet everybody. It's not like in a big city. In a big city you have so many events that the festival has not concentration. The journalists, for example, the press in the big city has to return to their home to work in their offices, and here they are completely free.
For all its concentration in one place and beautiful location, Karlovy Vary wasn't always so popular. The Danish director Thomas Vinterberg was at this year's festival presenting his movie Dear Wendy. But it wasn't his first time here. That was in the early 1990s, during his student days.
I was put up in this, I think, military compound up on the hill with four other people and my wife in a room, very sparse, and everything didn't work. You know, the curtains went on in the middle of the screenings and everything was very, very different. It was like 3 or 4 years after the revolution, and you could feel that this country was in a sort of development.
Variety's Stephen Gaidos also remembers the early 1990s, when Karlovy Vary wasn't the vibrant festival it is now.
The theaters were empty. There were a few kind of older folks wandering around, sipping the local waters and wandering into movie theaters, not knowing what they were watching. And it was sort of depressing in 94. By the time I came back in 97, I thought that I thought the whole world had changed. The theaters were packed as they are now, and it's just it became like the film Woodstock. You know, it's changed completely in 10 years.
In box office terms, Karlovy Vary festival sold around 35,000 tickets in 1994, while this year it's up to around 125,000, a figure which organizers say simply cannot increase further. But how has the festival grown so much in a decade? One factor is its audience-friendly approach. Tickets are inexpensive, young people are welcome, and they show their appreciation. American actress Ali McGraw is on this year's competition jury.
My amazement is, for instance, last night, just because I like him, I went to see Matt Dillon's film, and at 11:30, by the time it started, it was completely packed with wide awake, passionate filmgoers, many, many, many of them young. And that's thrilling. I don't think I'd like to go to a festival that's loaded with sort of sleazy Hollywood agents and deal makers. This feels to me like a town full of people that are crazy about movies.
Ali McGraw's sentiments are shared by writer-director Michael Radford, the president of this year's grand jury.
I think that the thing about this festival which is the most remarkable is the way in which it's supported by the public, not just film buffs, but people who really come to buy their tickets and are really interested in enjoying the movies. Every viewing that I've been to has been absolutely packed out. Every audience has been really generous towards the movies. They want to enjoy it. They want to see the best about the movie. And, you know, that gives a tremendous sense to people who work in cinema. It's a great pleasure to see that, because it makes us feel that cinema is still important in some kind of way.
And Stephen Gaydos says many in the film industry and the media are beginning to share his opinion that film festivals don't come better than Karlovy Vary.
I've said for years that Karlovy Vary has the best audiences of any festival that I go to around the world. And this doesn't seem to be a secret anymore, because now I'm reading this from other critics and filmmakers. Even in the London press, I noticed this. Karlovy Vary's audiences are young, enthusiastic. They're open to all kinds of movies. So they don't come in with a prejudice. So from a filmmaker's point of view, if I had a film playing into the Great Hall with 1,200 kids from around Europe and Central and Western Europe, this would be the place to be.
High praise indeed. Of course, you couldn't have a top-class film festival without some world-famous stars. And this year's Karlovy Vary has had an especially glittering turnout, including Matt Dillon, Robert Redford, Liv Ullmann, Sideways director Alexander Payne, Michael Madsen, upcoming Mexican actor Gael García Bernal, and the aforementioned Sharon Stone. Among the big films, The Queen of Sheba's Pearls by Colin Nutley, the blockbuster Sin City by Roberto Rodriguez, and L'Enfant, or The Child, by Jean-Pierre and Luc Dardenne, which won the Palme d'Or at Cannes. But I suppose the best person to ask for film recommendations is the person who put the programme together, Julieta Zakharova.
I have several favorite films. Actually, I think that all the films we selected are good and are definitely worth seeing. I have definitely a couple of very favorite films. One of them I should probably mention is a Canadian documentary, Midnight Movies, that was screened last night. It was a midnight screening because it's midnight movies. It was packed and the atmosphere at the screening was great. I also very much like the film by Jim Jarmusch we screened last night as well, Broken Flowers. It was a film surprise of this year's film festival. These are definitely the films that should be seen.
The program director is just one of hundreds of people who work to make the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival one of the most colourful events in the Czech Republic. But is it possible for the organisers to actually enjoy the festival, or is it just work?
it is work, but I enjoy and like my job very much. And the festival is a great experience every year because it's different every year. And we really work the whole year just to have these, you know, like few days of the festival when you see actually the result of your 1 year's work. And it's actually great to see all the filmmakers and producers and especially the audience coming to see what we were doing the entire year.
Yulieta Zakharova, who, with her colleagues, will in the very near future begin working on next year's Karlovy Vary Film Festival, the 41st. But for now, that's it for this edition of The Arts.
And that brings us to the end of today's programme from Prague. I'd just like to remind you that all our features are available in text and sound on www.radio.cz. It's an easy address to remember and well worth checking out, so do so when you have the time. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and have a great weekend. Thank you.